Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Well, welcome to Angel Talk. We have an exciting show for you today. It's going to be on signs, the coming days, God's compassion. You know, we are all seeing the signs of opposition to God's will. Do we believe it will not affect us? How many predicted signs will have to occur before we decide that the only power they have is what we give them? God has offered each of us his compassion and willingness to lift us above the worst of it. So are you ready to help those in need, even if you do not know them? Well, these are the questions we must ask ourselves. So thank you for joining us for Angel Talk. And before we get started, I'd like to do a little prediction here. The earth is in the path of space dust debris. And this can be seen as a vibrant red shade or a bright green color in the sky at times. This will soon become much more noticeable in the near future. There has been some odd sightings, and it may become more frequent also, and you may be noticing more than one moon in the sky. Keep your eyes open. The planets tilt and wobble is intensifying. Because of this, it is causing dizziness, nauseousness, and a feeling of being lethargic. So just be aware that if you're having some of these feelings, that it may not just be, you know, something you ate or something, that it very much so could be the tilt and wobble that our planet, the Earth, is going through. Now, what we've been seeing is that civil war is likely to happen in the United States, especially after the election. Pray and allow yourself to be in a pure heart so that your good energies can help in trying to neutralize some of this warlike attitudes. The Middle East war is going to continue to intensify, drawing other countries to be involved, and this will lead to World War III. The sun will continue to be more active with larger and larger coronal mass ejections and solar winds. A direct strike on the planet is likely to happen and is going to take down the power grids before the end of the year. Extreme and erratic weather will continue to happen. Expect early snow and colder weather, but there will be a fluctuation in temperatures from extreme cold to warm and back to cold. You're going to see large hailstorms that will happen and a large earthquake in the 7 range is going to hit the Pacific area the beginning of 2025. Large windstorms will continue past the typical hurricane season. Odd screeching and grinding noises will be heard coming from the planet, and this is caused by the shifting of the tectonic plates of the planet. Be aware of the night sky. Notice the stars are not in the correct position that they should be most nights. And this will help you understand how much the planet is tilted and wobbling. Now know your mental and emotional attitudes will begin to play a large role in your health. As you gain more awareness and the energies raise in vibration, your thoughts will manifest more quickly. Aligning your thoughts to loving ones and being of service to God will help you stay on the right path. If your ego takes control, you may draw to yourself unwanted lessons or health issues to have to deal with. So remember your oneness with God at all times. Blessings to you.
Wow. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
You know, we have seen so much in such a short period of time. And sometimes that's not so good in that we have a tendency to forget about the one that happened last week because this week there were so many of them. And then next week there'll be a bunch of them too. And then we'll forget what happened three weeks ago. And that's the problem with time. And there's no doubt about it. God is working on time. You know, there have been, you and I both, we keep track of it. You know, when the full moon is out there, we watch where it comes up, where it goes down, you know, I mean, where it's positioned in the sky, and we check it with the calendars. And I mean, you know, when you have a full moon and all of a sudden you have nothing that appears in the sky 2 days after, I mean, you have to question, you know, and is that a sign? Absolutely. I mean, if anyone out there thinks that is not a sign, I mean, I don't ever remember my parents or grandparents talking about, hey, you know what? You know, no moon come up tonight, you know, or the moon come up in the west. I don't ever remember those things occurring. And as I grew up, you know, it wasn't until recently that that particular issue became noticeable. And, you know, it's so funny because when we had the total eclipse not too long ago, everybody lined in motels and stuff and watched it through the day as it blocked the sun. Well, how is that possible? I mean, if the moon moves in between the earth and the sun, you will have a solar eclipse. But it doesn't stay there. It can't stay there because the earth's rotating. But unless it comes up in the west, and if you look at the trajectory of the moon on that particular day, the line of people that were watching it went all the way from, you know, basically Arizona, Southern California, all the way up through the Midwest and all the way up through to the northern states. And I mean, how's that possible? That would tell you that the moon is moving from the west to the east. And as it did, all those people lined up, you know, the moon was blocking the sun, you know, in front of them. And did we really take the time to stop and think about that? Now, you know, some might say that, you know, you worry about things that just, you know, don't you have better things to worry about? Oh, yeah, I've got plenty of things to worry about, believe me, if I wanted to. But I have learned that some things just aren't worth worrying about. But other things are there to give us the chance to be able to see the movement of God. Can you block the moon? Can you take and bring it up in the you know, Pacific area and set it in the east? Have you noticed that east and west aren't really where they used to be? You know, I mean, honestly, they have shifted quite a bit. And that has to do, of course, with the tilting of the earth itself. You know, how much tilt? In the great flood, it was said that it tilted the earth 30 degrees. Now, I can't even imagine 30 degrees. But, you know, it's been said that in this next shift, we could have at least that much.
That's true.
There are signs, and they're being given to us. Are we watching? Or are we going about our daily business like we used to? I mean, you know, there have been so many deaths from overdose of, you know, pills, of all kinds of, you know, heroin and other things over these last even 10 years. And at one time it was 60,000. I'll never forget the number. 2017, I think it was 60,000. And now it's up to 100,000 overdose deaths per year. And that's in the United States. Now, 100,000 deaths. I mean, yes, we have heart attacks. We have people with, you know, all different ranges of illnesses and dis-ease. But, I mean, 100,000. I don't see any signs out there saying, you know, stay away from this. 100,000 people died from it. I mean, I don't see them putting any funds into that. I mean, there's on the back of a package of cigarettes, it'll maybe tell you, this could cause cancer. Well, you know, I think most people know that anyway. And if they choose to smoke, they do. That's not neither here nor there for me. But most of the deaths from the overdoses are youth. Why? Because we're not telling them. We're not telling them. How many parents out there? And, you know, it's going to be my job today to bring to you some eye-awakening things. And then Sandy's going to come in behind me, which she's the peacemaker. She always is, you know, and help you with that. But it's hard for me to get onto this show and lay it out in front of you the way it really is. And believe me, I'm the kind of a person that when I walk into a room with 100 people in it, I scan the room just to make sure that I don't see one individual who could possibly be a troublemaker. You know, and even I was talking to my brother about this the other night. Even then, I searched the room just to make sure, where are the fire extinguishers? Where are the larger things that I could possibly pick up to defend myself if I had to? Because it's going to get to that point, if not already. We're not being told. Our mass media, you know, I mean, you know, used to be I could get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and that's when they would tell you the news, because someday they're going to be called on the carpet and they can say, oh, no, we reported on that. It might have been 3 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, but that's where they would hide the stuff. And even that little ticker tape that goes across the bottom, it would have sentences on it that made no sense whatsoever. But I soon began to realize that there was a code in it. And I came to realize that somebody's communicating with somebody else on those ticker tapes at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. You know, Jim, I really believe that as the planet is raising in consciousness and awareness, and if the planet's raising, it's forcing every person on the planet to have to raise in vibration also. And if we have thoughts, emotions, whatever in us that are in a lower vibration than what we're moving up into, it forces those lower vibrations to surface. And they're like big magnets drawing us lessons so we can see them and release them. But as we're trying to release them and see them, you go through turmoil, you go through chaos, and it's like, you know, we just want to get through this stage so that we can go into a better place. But we're in that stage right now because the energies of the planet are raising, forcing everyone to have to raise in vibration. And for those that are like, I am not moving from where I'm at, I'm staying here, you know, it's going to be like a tsunami wave that's going to hit them. And, you know, and it's going to have to force them to move into another level of awareness.
Well, Sandy, and I hear you say that, but you know, we have been doing this work well over 20 years. And, you know, and our main purpose has always been to help, help people lift, help people be more, you know, in hope. You know, hope is one thing that so many of us lose from childhood. And you can't. You have to have that hope, that great hope, an expectation. You have to help your neighbor. And that may not be the guy who lives next door to you who makes $200,000 a year. It may be the guy down the street who's making $15,000 a year, and you know, and you don't even think about him or his family. You know, we have gotten away from it. Oh, we'll help family sometimes. I hear it too much. Well, you know what? That's just the way it's always been. Oh my golly, I just want to cry when I hear those words. And I tell you, hardly a day goes by that I don't hear them. You know, it's just the way it's always been. Oh my golly, you mean your grandfather, your great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather. How do you know he was right? I mean, how do you know that the family hasn't been doing it wrong for the last 150 years? You know, times have changed. Things have changed. And, you know, borders are no longer really borders anymore. I mean, people are coming back and forth across them, and not just here. It's all over the world. It started out, if you remember, in the Mediterranean. And, you know, some of the individuals, my family came here from England, France, from those places, the Great Potato Famine, you know? I mean, that's a little odd too, isn't it? I mean, it's hard for me to believe that the plant was perfectly, perfectly growing above ground, and underground there wasn't one potato stuck to the root at all, you know? And so they came here. 10 years later, they were the ones, the Irish, that fought in the Union War, in the Civil War, and they fought for the Union side. It was said that the Union's side would not have won had it not been for them. Now, I have a great-great-great-great-grandfather that fought in that war, and he picked up the flag when the flag bearer was shot and ran with it, and he was given the Congressional Medal of Honor. You'll find him in the rolls, George C. Platt. And there's a bridge in Philadelphia named for him, the George C. Platt Bridge. And, you know, you have to give him credit. I mean, you know, those people, they did what they had to do. And, you know, there wasn't any rethinking it. There wasn't any, you know, well, you know, I'm a little different. You know, I mean, they had to take care of their families. A lot of the illnesses I think that people have today are because of the migrations. You know, when families have lived where they have for 150 years and all of a sudden they're forced to move. I mean, my family, a lot of them, you know, potato farmers, they got that salt water that came in off of the ocean, the North Sea, and it had potassium in it and iron and calcium and magnesium, and their bodies absorbed it. They came here, they moved to the mountains, which has none of that. I mean, and then wonder why there were so many illnesses and you know, congenital effects from it. And I mean, we haven't taken that into consideration, but we should have. I mean, you go to a doctor, they will deny you have anything. I don't care if you have to crawl in on your hands and knees. And that's just getting to be ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, you know, disease and famine, these are some of the signs, you know, for the coming days, you know, before the return of Jesus. Yeah, these are some of the signs. And I think it's going to increase. I think that you're going to have a lot more of this that's going to happen.
Well, God help us. I mean, you walk into a grocery store and people can barely push their buggies. They're using their buggies like a crutch to actually lean over and hold on to as they go up and down the aisles. And I mean, I bet the number is easily 50% in an average grocery store.
It is bad. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we don't know what to eat. Shoot, would they tell us that lard was the worst thing you could ever eat? Don't ever eat lard. And how many years ago was that? I mean, you know, get it off the shelves. I mean, it is the worst thing for cholesterol. And so then they come up with all these other oils, and these are really good for you. Now they're saying, oh, you know what? We made a mistake. You know, lard is actually good for the body. It'll keep the arteries clean. Now, did they come out and say that because somebody figured out how to cold press, you know, certain oils, and they wanted to make money off of them, so they had to get rid of what everybody was using? It really boils down a lot of times to the money, but it's not just the money. It's that we don't want to change. when you get to be a certain age and you want to do something that's different than what the family would have you do, you know, it causes every one of them, everybody in the family has to examine their own truth on that issue. And they will sometimes get angry. They will sometimes get violent. I mean, literally, and they don't, it doesn't even make sense, but they'll tell you, there's no reason for you to change things. Why can't you just leave it alone? And they want you to leave it alone because they don't want to have to examine their own lives. And you know what? For me, give me a better way, I'm there. I mean, I don't care if I've been doing the wrong thing for 50 years. I mean, I could care less. You give me something that says this is the way that works best. And maybe we knew about it, maybe we didn't, but try it. And you may find that it works.
Yeah.
Give it to me. I mean, I don't have any problem in saying, hey, I did it with what I had or what I thought was right, and I listened to those people. But I tell you what, we have got to get away, the angels say, from looking at the plaque on the wall of the doctor's office that says he's the professional. If he says it, it must be true. Oh, my goodness gracious. Remember, we are living in a planet, in an illusion, so to speak, because everything is inversed. Everything. So it's the opposite of what you see. So number one, quit seeing it. You know, the angels told me, don't believe what you see. Don't believe what you're looking at. But listen, as you walk down a road, look straight ahead and see with your ears, because your ears are the two parts of the body that go straight into the side of the head or the brain that they're connected to, the opening. The others crisscross over. So it goes into that side. And if you can see with your ears, everything that you hear will be true.
Yeah. And you know, Jim, there's a lot more signs and the coming days and all that. You know, natural disasters is a big one. You know, even in Matthew 24:7-8, you know, Jesus speaks of earthquake, famines, and pestilence. But we have flooding, we have hurricanes, all kinds of wind destruction, volcanic activity erupting, sinkholes, lightning strikes, and the increase of all the solar activity. You know, we are in a peak right now. So it's like, yes, we are in this time.
Ms. Sandy, if you think about it, nothing that occurred when Moses went before the Pharaoh and said, let my people go. All of those plagues have occurred. The locusts, remember, they wiped out most of Africa. I mean, what, it was a few years ago?
Yeah.
And the waters in a whole lot of places have turned massive red from, you know, from, what is that called? When it turns red like that, it absorbs all the oxygen. It's an algae. Mm-hmm. And it absorbs all the oxygen out of the water, and it kills all the fish.
Yeah.
And you
and
too.
And the methane gets really high. Yeah.
Right. And don't you remember the time when you could take a piece of any meat and put it in salt brine and leave it overnight, and it would cure it. It would make it edible without the worry of any bacteria being in it. And you can't do that today. If you want to go swimming in the Atlantic Ocean and you're on the beach, you have to be careful because there's a necrotizing or flesh-eating bacteria that's in the water. Now, that's salt water. So how's it surviving in the salt water? And that's only just one thing. But, you know, everything is upside down. Everything they've told us is upside down. And so we have to quit listening to what they say. And when they say it, make them prove it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
E. coli.
Yeah.
E. coli and beef and chicken. I had heard yesterday that the number was up to 79 cases with at least one death from
McDonald's. Yeah.
Well, I don't know that all of them were from that restaurant. 49 of them I know were. But, I mean, how did it get into the beef and chicken? I mean, somebody didn't wash their hands. I mean, or somebody didn't cook the bird the right amount.
Yeah.
I mean, here's where our problem lies. I mean, there is technologies out there that absolutely will kill that. I mean, you could create a small metal box or box or glass, and you could put your food in it, and you could hit it with ozonation, and the tests have already been done on it, and they've used it in the super tankers, in the ballast water, so that you can hit it with ozone, and that's a massive amount of water. With the ozone doesn't use a ultraviolet light. It uses a disc, a ceramic disc that has to be perfect. And it can create a high enough arc that it creates massive amounts of ozone. And you can hit the water with it, and it will kill 99.5% of any pathogen in the water. Now, you can't get 100%, you know, no agency will grant you that. 99.5% is considered perfect. And it gives off nothing bad. They took those tankers through Prince William Sound, where the waters are pristine, and then tested the waters behind the tankers, and there was nothing in the water that was considered to be harmful or damaging to the system. Where are we? I mean, I hear from FEMA that you have in some of these zones where there have been massive hurricanes, they take water down there in bottles and they stack them and then they leave and nobody there to take care of them or hand them out. And some of them, the bottles melted from the heat.
That's such a shame. All that wasted.
Well, it just, you know, is there really anything?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not wasted. I mean, they want to take another trip to Mars. Really? You really want to go to Mars right now? I mean, personally, I got no reason that I need to go to Mars.
Yeah.
And they spend minimum of $10 billion to go to Mars every time. And what was it? The last time before last that they sent a rover up there, they missed the planet by a foot because they said that they forgot to use, you know, the European model for measurement. And come on. I mean, $10 billion. What are we doing with our money? I mean, even your counties. I mean, it just amazes me
when I see
what they're spending it on.
You know, Jim, another thing that is happening that is truly a sign of the coming days is the moral decay. You know, people are all about self
and
money.
And they actually find a way to justify it.
Right. They're conceited. They love their entertainment and pleasures rather than having the time to be able to commit to God.
Well, you've got what? Middle school? I've heard even that in some reports that it's been some in grade school that they're beginning to teach. You know, if you would rather be a girl than a boy, all you have to do is let us know. You know, let who know? I mean, the last thing I want is somebody in the school being able to make that decision for a child. You know, I remember, believe it or not, pretty clearly when I was 3 years old, 4 years old, when I was in first, second, third grade. I mean, even when I went into, because you graduated from sixth to the seventh, and there wasn't very many people in our class, 25. And I remember I had no clue. You know, if you really want to get right down to it, at that age, do you really have a clue? I mean, what do you want to be, you know, when you graduate and go out into the world? I don't know, an astronaut maybe? You know, I mean, you know, do you really have a clue? You don't. You know, you look for something that'll please your parents. But, you know, I mean, they're teaching stuff to our kids. I mean, religions. You know, I'm a minister, but I don't want religion taught in the schools. Number one, I don't know what they're teaching. Give me the curricula and let me at least read it and see and make sure you stick to it. But, you know, honestly, that it should be taught by the parents and it should be, you know, it should be in a church setting. You should be out there getting together. I mean, I don't care where it is. It could be in a park. It doesn't matter. But we should be getting together. We have been separated by cell phones. I mean, come on now. You know, the illnesses are on a massive scale. The jet streams are changing. We're getting the polar vortexes because the tilt of the planet changes, you know, on a regular basis. And sometimes the stars, when they come up, they're in the west. Sometimes they're in the east, which is where they should be. But sometimes they're in the west. But, you know, and again, we mentioned the E. coli. That can be dealt with, but they're not. And so, to me, you know, you can yell at me all you want, and I'm willing to take the heat because I'm used to it. I've been doing this since I was 12. And, you know, E. coli, that's not from somebody not washing their hands. Come on. I mean, because you fry a hamburger, you're supposed to get it to 165, I believe. Is that correct, Sandy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 165. Chicken, you know, pretty close, same thing. I mean, and if it's cooked properly, it shouldn't be able to hold any bacteria. Typically, E. coli, you'll find it on lettuce and things that aren't cooked. But see, we're not. We're getting it now from beef and chicken. Why? Are they trying to get us to a point where we abandon it? Other countries aren't taking our poultry. They're not taking our beef, you know, and buying it from us. Why? Because there is an effort, you know, to destabilize economies. Before the end of the year, my prediction is that the United Nations will have taken control. They have already said so, and they said that they are going to send troops into any area that doesn't listen to what they have to say. They're coming up with a new tax, you know, and these things I know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what I suppose might happen. They're admitting that. I mean, they're literally, even on regular media, you'll hear them, you know, throw it in there once in a while. And Ohio is passing a bill to legalize all abortion. Now, I mean, I'm a man, and people have said before, well, don't you think a woman has a right to choose for her own body? Yes, I do. But, and especially if there's rape, incest, you know, I mean, any of those things that have occurred, I mean, or it's the life of the mother. I think I read recently that a mother died because they would not abort the baby at the hospitals because the doctors didn't want to get sued. Really, in most places, doctors can't get sued. I think here in West Virginia, they have immunity. You know, whoa, that really gives me a good feeling when I go into a doctor's office that they can do what they want and they don't have to worry about being sued. So, you know, here's my prediction on Ohio. Ohio, better think hard and fast on what you pass in that bill. If you pass a bill that says if there's incest, you know, or molestation or rape or the mother's life is at risk for abortion, I think that is acceptable in the eyes of God. But if it's just across the board, look out, because the New Madrid Fault is going to go. And when it does, there won't be an Ohio. That water is going to come rushing down out of the Great Lakes, and it is going to flood into the Mississippi, and we're going to have a waterway that literally you can put frigates on. So, you know, I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here to try and, you know, force feed you something that, you know, that could or could not happen. We could only pray that it doesn't happen. And Sandy and I have talked about this for 20 years. I mean, you know, what if we make a prediction, and I can tell you right now, few, if any, have not happened. But timing is always a hard one to predict because we don't control time. God does. And you have 6.5 billion people on the planet. The angels corrected us last week. I think it was when we said 7. They said, well, it's really 6.5 billion. Oh, I had to wonder where the other half billion went, but I didn't ask. But, you know, we're starting to idolize people like Lenin and Stalin and even Hitler's being talked about. I mean, where is our heads going? I mean,
definitely in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's upside down, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, yeah, we have to be really careful because in these coming days, yeah, there's going to be things that also are going to happen. You know, there's going to be a lot of persecution of believers in God, you know, and there's also going to be a lot of false Christs. that's going to happen. You know, because, you know, the devil's going to bring about, you know, these beings that are going to try to convince you and lead you in the complete wrong direction. And we have to discern. We have to be aware and truly attuned to God to know, you know.
And don't think it's hard because, or that it's, you know, hard to do for somebody to do that to you or influence you. In ancient times, God would make a covenant with, you know, a particular sect of the Hebrews one night, and there would be promises made, and, you know, and they would, if thou will be my, you know, my children, I will be thy God. And the very next day, the individual coming in, who typically you'll see in the biblical as Adam, where the Christ, or, you know, with the Kadosh Adonai, Sabayat, it's Adonai. And so you will find that you take off the last two letters and you have Aden. Now listen to the two words, Aden or Adonai. Which one has the vibration of spirituality? And yet the next day he would convince them all, I will put three more ears of corn on your on every stalk you have. I will make it rain when you need it, and I will fill your coffers to the full. It would take them a day to abandon the covenant. And a covenant's not just a promise or just an agreement. A covenant is deep. And it didn't take a day for them to sacrifice their children on the altars of fire, you know, to please Aden, and there sprouted the 3 ears of corn. Now, it wasn't long until they had no corn, you know, because he didn't tell them that I'll do this every year, you know, forever. I mean, blessings come from God. They come. They'll usually come at the 11th hour.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because if it's in your mind and you know it, then the not so shiny light, so the angels like to call it, you know, can know it too. And so they will put obstacles in your way. You have Halloween coming up. Oh, my golly. You know, I agonize over this every year. But when my child was young, his first costume was an angel. Pillowcase, you know, with the little piece of wire that went up and had the Christmas tinsel on it. You know, I mean, he was cute as could be. And every year, I made sure that he wore something that was of the light. Now, by the time he became 16, I was told behind the scenes that, well, half a mile down the road, you know, he's switching out costumes. Well, when they get to be that old, you know, they start making decisions that sometimes we don't like. But we as parents, it's our commitment, it is our responsibility to not allow our kids to dress up in goblins and vampires. And what we don't realize is that the underworld is empty, because that's what the times are. We're coming into that time and it's empty. And you know, I had to really study this one, and I did. And I got all the confirmations I needed, and even read it in one of the spiritual books. But it told how, when someone has Alzheimer's, that they get to a stage where they're angry and dangerous. I remember my uncle saying that, you know, my great-grandfather, one night he heard something in the kitchen, and he went out there, and there stood my great-grandfather with a butcher knife in his hand. I mean, you know, and up in the air. Well, he said that was the last night he spent at my house. Now, I just put that in the back of my mind. But, you know, in some of the research I've done, there gets to be a stage where in Alzheimer's, the individual loses control. So I started researching some of it. And, you know, in one particular case, there was an issue of the person at night could talk. And they would talk, this person would talk back and forth with somebody else. And the other person was somebody we knew. And so they were out there talking with them. But when we walked out there, there wasn't anybody there. So put it in the back of our minds, went back to bed. And a little later on, the person that was helping take care of this person, heard Sandy's voice out there talking with this person. And she went out and there was nobody there. Then we heard a voice that was sounded like a gravelly 65 or 70 year old man who had smoked all his life. And I mean, there was a conversation going back and forth. And then that's when it became dangerous. I mean, you know, there was biting, kicking, screaming, shrill screams in the middle of the night. And, you know, when I went to God in prayer, I mean, you know, it was at the time that I was reading a passage in one of the Edgar Casey books, and it said, you know, what's wrong with my mother? The question was asked. You know, she doesn't seem to be a safe person, and she's getting very dangerous. And the answer came back, your mother is over here with us on the other side. The body was left empty for a brief moment when the soul departed. And another entity that was of not a high vibration took over, moved in. And the question was asked, well, why didn't that entity just go home? And the answer came back, it did. It found a home. And it doesn't care if the home is bedridden. It doesn't care if the home is, you know, I mean, hurts, has pain. Doesn't matter. It's a home. And they're looking for homes. I believe, you know, that it's why the Jewish bury their dead the same day. So that there's not time for another being or spirit, discarnate entity, to take up residence. And, you know, I've been told that up to seven. But Jesus threw out 1,000 into the pigs who ran down the hill into the water and drowned themselves. Now, everybody says, wow, that was kind of cruel, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. Because what it did, it caused those demons to be encapsulated. The water, why baptism, encapsulates negativity. If you have negativity in the body, the light cannot take up that space. You cannot have the light and the dark in the same location. So how do you get it out? Baptism. In a baptism, the water will encapsulate the negativity, and you ask that the light immediately take up its place in that area. And all of a sudden, you have light where you had darkness.
It really works. And Jim, you did such a fantastic job on removing that negative energy. And the personality change was just incredible.
Well, the person slept. Started right. Sleeping all night long. No shrill screams. Mm-hmm. No biting. No kicking. But, you know, how long it can hold? I mean, yep. All I did was follow the words of Jesus and what he told his disciples to do. And how he told them. And he got perturbed when they came back and said they weren't able to. He said, what do you mean you're not able to? He said, I gave you the power. I gave you the authority. And so you have to attune yourself and protect yourself, and you have to do it with authority. And you have to ask that either the heavenly host, you know, of course the Christ and the Holy Trinity, but and the Archangel Michael.
Absolutely.
Mike?
Well, you know, we need to go into God's compassion now.
Okay.
Okay. So I want to share some things from F.F. Bosworth and Robert V. Bosworth. You know, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Psalms 145:8-9. You know, in the study of the Lord's compassion, we have a complete revelation of the Lord's willingness to heal. So during his earthly ministry, he was everywhere, moved with compassion, and healed all them that had need of healing. The most conspicuous statement, you know, in the scriptures about our Heavenly Father are the declarations concerning his love, his mercy, his compassion. There is no note that can be sounded concerning God's character that will so inspire faith, says this one. By showing his compassion everywhere in the healing of the sick, Jesus unveiled the compassionate heart of God to the people. The multitudes came to him for help. How insidiously Satan has worked to hide this glorious fact from the people. He has broadcasted the unscriptural, illogical, and worn-out statement that the age of miracles is past until he has almost succeeded in eclipsing the compassion of God from the eyes of the world. You know, Satan is willing that we shall magnify the Lord's power because he knows that this is not a sufficient basis for faith, but that the Lord's compassion and willingness are. You know, benevolence is the great attribute of God. And if you want to please him, remove the obstacles out of the way of the exercise of his benevolence. He is infinitely good. He exists forever in the state of entire consecration to pour forth blessings upon his creatures whenever they make it possible. Everyone can do this. Suppose the vast Pacific Ocean were elevated high above us, then conceive of its pressure into the every crevice to find an outlet through which it might pour its ocean's tide over all the earth. You have a picture of God's benevolent attitude towards us. God is always willing to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. His love is so great that it cannot be fully gratified by blessing all the holy beings in the universe. Therefore, it's extended to his enemies throughout the whole world. It seems to me that God would rather have us doubt his ability than his willingness. The Lord is full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. When I think of how the Lord so floods our heart with his tender love until its intercession for others, our hearts are too full of yearning to utter their feelings, yearnings that cannot be uttered. I stand in awe and wonder what his compassion must be. Christ has opened the way for the fullest possible manifestations of his mercy toward every phase of human need. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. In other words, he is so full of compassion that he cannot be a receptor of persons in the bestowal of his mercies. God is unable to fully gratify his benevolent heart by blessing holy beings. He has to extend his mercies to the wicked of earth. How could he withhold the common blessing of healing from any of his own obedient children? Let us look at a few passages from the gospel showing the Lord's compassion. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And they came to him from every quarter. Mark 1:40-45. And here is a compassion that moved Christ to heal this leper. He departed thence by ship into a desert apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. And he healed their sick. Matthew 14:13-14. And here, as elsewhere, he was plenteous in mercy to all that had need of healing. It was his compassion that moved him. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thy Son of David. And Jesus said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Matthew 20:29-34. These blind men asked for mercy at having their eyes open, and Jesus granted them the mercy of healing, proving that healing is a mercy as well as forgiveness. The sick in those days, when seeking healing, asked for mercy. In our day, most people think of mercy as applied only to the sinner, not knowing that his mercy is also extended to the sick. Paul calls God the Father of mercies, proves it by healing all the sick on the island. Jesus asked, "Blessed are the merciful, compassionate, that they may obtain mercy." Job had healed when he prayed for his friends, and according to one of the Beatitudes, he obtained mercy by showing it. Referring to and accounting for Job's healing in James 5:11 says, "The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." He follows with the direction to the church, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church." The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. In other words, let any sick in the church today, as well as Job, obtain their healing also. Jesus provided all we need. He is still saying, as he did to the two blind men, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" Jesus had compassion on the man in the tombs. The man was so possessed with a legion of demons that he cut himself with stones and broke chains with which people had often tried to bind him. And when he was clothed and in his right mind, he was so glad that he had besought the Lord that he might remain with him. "Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed." And how great things Jesus has done for him. And all the men did marvel. In Mark 5:19. You see, when we read Matthew 15:30 31 and see the result that this one man's testimony given to the advertised the Lord's compassion, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. It was not their being sick, as some teach today, but their being healed that caused these great multitudes to glorify the God of Israel. Is there anything wrong in obeying the Lord's command to make known his deeds among the people, since Jesus died to open the way for his mercies to reach all the needs of men? We surely ought to be willing for them to know it. When we look at the passage concerning the Lord's compassion, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." And when he had called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of disease, and commanded them, saying, "Go, preach, and heal the sick." Matthew 9:35. You see, God's compassion is everywhere. And when we understand how much compassion he has for everyone, we begin to understand, you know, God's compassion is divine love and action. And when Paul made the strongest possible appeal for consecration, he said, "I beseech you, by the mercies of God, this is the manifestation of his greatest attribute." It is since Jesus became our high priest that he speaks from heaven 7 times, saying, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Men are saying much today that the Spirit has never said, and is the opposite of what he does say. The following are a few of the things the Spirit says for the purpose of glorifying Christ. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, and that he might be merciful, compassionate, and faithful. Hebrews 2:17. The Spirit further glorifies Christ by saying that he is now touched and had compassion in Hebrews 10:34 with the feeling of his infirmities. He still can have compassion. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let us worship him because his compassion is the same today. And as he looks upon our infirmities, he is still moved with compassion and yearns to help us. Even in the last chapters of Acts, we find his compassion manifested from heaven by the healing of all on the island. While he is our high priest, his compassion is so great that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Again, his compassion for the sick, since he was glorified, moved him to set or establish in the church spiritual gifts, the gifts of faith, of miracle, and of healing. For the recovery of the sick are given through the centuries, while he is our high priest. Jesus could have instantly had more than 12 legions of angels to enable him to escape the agony of the cross. But he didn't. He used his compassion to be able to show the world who he really was.
And you know, Sandy, it's the two sides. Right now, there is the availability to make the choice. Make the right one, follow it, follow God's law, and do not stray from it. If you have any questions, you'd like to talk to us, you'd like to ask questions, please give us a call at 304-567-3354 or sandysangeltalk@aol.com. And we would love to hear from you. Ask us any question about anything spiritual that you want. I've been doing this for a long time, and I have walked it, talked it, and lived it before I ever gave it to someone else.
We want to thank all of you for joining us, and we do hope that you will join us again in 2 weeks.
And may the Holy Trinity bless you.
God bless.
Amen.